This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
We cover lots of different topics around the Umpqua Valley and a unique conversation today. National Alliance on Mental Illness, the Oregon Executive Director, Chris Boniff, is in. Chris, thanks for coming in.
You're welcome. Thank you for the invitation.
So I guess, first of all, tell people more about the organization and also the statewide organization.
Sure. So we're the National Alliance on Mental Illness, NAMI, and then the state organization. Each state has a state organization. Then we have, in Oregon in particular, 17 local chapters. At the heart, what we do, we're all people with lived experience, whether family member, somebody living with a mental health disorder, many of us are both. We get specially trained to deliver education classes, free education classes, free support groups, and other programming for families, however you define family, dealing with mental health issues in their family, whether that's you living with a mental health disorder and you need education and support, or your family member supporting a loved one, or a parent or caregiver raising school-age children, something going on, we have programming for you.
So what is your role as executive director for Oregon?
So my role is really, in terms of our local chapters, it's really supporting our chapters, training volunteers, making sure that they are equipped to deliver programming in their local communities. We serve more than 15,000 people a year through those programs, and that's largely through our local chapters, such as one here in Douglas County that we have, NAMI Douglas County. So we do all the support for them, training, technical assistance, and then NAMI is very effective in policy advocacy and bringing about change at the legislative level or large systems, health systems level. And so a lot of my role also with the organization is collaborating with other organizations and bringing about what we hope are positive changes in the state of Oregon.
So how long have you been the Oregon director, and what led you to this kind of work?
Well, I'll start with what led me. What led me is I live with a mental health disorder, and I was a volunteer with NAMI, and I met other people who live with mental health disorders, and it's the first time in my life I didn't feel alone anymore, that I was not a freak, that this is something that is normal, other people deal with it, and I found community. What led me, I've been doing this now for 16 years in this role. This was not a career path for me. I started as an interim. I stepped down from the board of directors to take this for a short term, and here I am 16 years later, having seen a lot of growth with the organization and having been part of a lot of change in the state of Oregon for the better, for the most part.
So how's the organization funded?
We're largely funded through charitable giving. So some of our chapters, not coincidentally, in the four largest counties in the state, those counties, the three metro, Portland metro counties and Lane County, they actually take general fund dollars from their county and they give that to community-based organizations like NAMI to do a lot of their work. Elsewhere, we're really dependent at the state level, and then our local chapters like here in Douglas County and elsewhere in Southwest Oregon, community support. And it's a grassroots army of small donors who make it possible for us to do our programming.
Now, how many chapters? You do probably don't have one in every county in Oregon, right?
We do not. We have 17 chapters. It's not every county is big enough to have its own chapter, or some counties aren't geographically isolated. So we do have chapters that cover multiple counties, like Central Oregon covers three counties there. Southern Oregon covers Jackson and Josephine counties. Largely, you see a system for community-based organizations like ours sort of county-based, because that's how the state organizes its mental health system, is by county. But we do. We have 17 chapters. We cover most of Oregon. So we probably have, if you live elsewhere in this state, we probably have a chapter there that is providing programs.
So what, I don't know how you would calculate this necessarily, but what's the estimate of the percentage of people that suffer from some kind of mental illness?
Well, prior to the pandemic, at any given time in the United States, we would have about 20% of the population dealing with something. And that starts at 12 years of age through the lifespan. And that could be everything from mild depression to very severe schizophrenia or bipolar disorder. So it ran the gamut. What we're seeing is that prevalence, what we call it, that 20%, that's ticking up. The results of the pandemic, the results of natural, the wildfires in Oregon, just all these external events that have kept us as a population under elevated stress for a long period of time. We are now seeing that number increase, and particularly for people with depression and anxiety. Although the numbers are, we're not precise yet. We don't exactly know where that's going to land, but we know it's going to be higher than 20%.
So when you talk mental illness, what kinds of things fall under the category of mental illness?
We're really talking about the traditional diagnoses. Depression, I mean, what's really common, depression, anxiety. For serious mental illnesses, we're talking about schizophrenia, schizoaffective disorder, bipolar disorders, things like borderline personality disorder. These are the typical diagnoses and more that actually have treatments that people can respond to and people can reach recovery. We use the term mental health very generally to apply to everything that might be related to behavior. When we talk about mental illness, we're really talking about, again, disorders that respond to treatment that are defined as best as we can and that can be accommodated in our healthcare system.
So obviously a big difference between being depressed because you had a really bad day at work versus really being depressed that really applies to all aspects of your life.
There can be, but they can be also be related. Like the science is imprecise as to why someone develops symptoms, but we do know that there may be a genetic predisposition to it. So I may be depressed. Let's say I lost my job and I'm depressed. If I have that predisposition to it, it's important to treat that because that could turn into the kind of depression that lasts throughout other parts of your life and your lifetime. And so that's why we try as NAMI through our programs and through our advocacy, when the concern first arises, regardless of the cause, we want to do something to respond to that, to help people through that so that it doesn't become worse or become a lifelong condition.
And it seems like, though it's shifted a bit in the last 15 years, that people, while they oftentimes have no issue with going in and saying that, maybe they've got gallbladder trouble or whatever, people are still somewhat reluctant to go in and say, I think I might have a mental health issue.
That's true. It's hard for people to reach out and go in. In part, the system we would go into, let's say we go see our primary care physician, they still really don't know what to do with that. We're better in this state. We've made a more concerted effort to really introduce behavior health into primary care in those environments, but we're imperfect at that. And we don't always have the best response or connect people to the services they need. I will say, though, generally speaking, among younger generations, they're reaching out. They're talking about it. The thing that we point to as stigma is really a vestige of other generations, older generations. And when you go among our young people, especially school-age youth, high school, college, the willingness to talk about these things and acknowledge these things is tremendous. And so I do have hope that as many of us start aging out, we're going to have a generation sweeping behind us who is not ashamed to talk about these things.
What do you think led to the shift there? Is it just all the stress of recent years and the reality of it, or?
I think it's just we've reached this point because of people who came before me, because of my generation, because of people following my footsteps that have made it possible for this to be more acceptable. You do see response. For 20 years now in Oregon, our commercial health insurance, if you have commercial health insurance through your employer, it has to pay for behavioral health benefits. We've been doing that for 20 years now. So we've just built up this volume of time. And then I think around young people, they just communicate better. They have more channels of communication than we ever did, certainly, and they're willing to be more open about a lot of things, including mental health.
At some point back there, 15, I don't know if it was as far back as 20 years ago, there was a shift on the federal level as well through some legislation that really put mental health issues and the need for help and coverage, et cetera, on the same parity as physical health.
They do. So Oregon passed its version, its first version of that law in 2005. The federal government passed a federal parity law so that health insurance does have to treat medical surgical benefits and behavioral health benefits equally. And that was in, correct, around 2012, 2013, 14, 15, the federal government issued the rules. So by and large, through any kind of commercial health insurance, whether it's regulated by the state are regulated by the federal government, there does have to be more robust benefits in an insurance package. What we haven't solved, though, is the affordability problem. And so sometimes mental health is what's on what we call a specialty tier. So my copays to go see a therapist, for example, may be significantly higher than my copay when I go see a primary care physician. And so affordability, we've sort of solved the coverage issue. We have not solved an affordability issue.
All right, more when we come back. Chris Bonoff with us from the National Alliance of Mental Illness. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming at 1 from Washington, D.C. tomorrow. 4th District Congresswoman Val Hoyle will join us, give her reaction to the speech tonight from the president as he addresses a joint session of Congress, and we'll cover some other things as well with Congresswoman Hoyle on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. From the National Alliance on Mental Illness, the Oregon Executive Director Chris Bonoff is in with us this afternoon. What are some of your organization's priorities in Oregon?
Well, when it comes to helping people, one of our major initiatives is adding staffing outside of Portland. So staff positions based in Southern Oregon, staff positions based in Central Oregon, staff positions based south of Portland along the Willamette Valley. What we know is we're an army of volunteers. Many of us started as volunteers. We're volunteers giving back, and we need just enough staff support to help our volunteers, say at NAMI Douglas County, to really pursue the mission and deliver our programming. So that's one initiative on that. We also, on the advocacy side, are really working on some major policy initiatives. And that has to do with the issue of civil commitment and when someone is ill enough, the symptoms are severe enough that we want to compel them to participate in treatment. And what services ought to be available for those people. So we have major initiatives on two tracks. One is we help more than 15,000 people every year through our support groups, through our classes, through our workshops and other educational offerings. We want to grow that to 16,000, 17,000, 18,000 because the need is there. And then on the policy side, what we want to do is make things better so that when families or individuals do reach out for help, that help not only is there, but it's actually effective.
It would seem like the whole area of civil commitment, I mean, it gets very complex.
It gets very complex because what we're doing is we're making a judgment, largely through the court system, that someone is so severe and extreme in their symptoms that we are going to force them to do something. And that's a very traumatic event. It's something that you want to do cautiously and be very careful about the circumstances of when you exercise that type of power. And because of that, we're essentially depriving someone of their due process rights, right? Their liberty. It's contentious. At the same time, in our state, we are forcing people into care today, only it happens after we arrest them. And then we evaluate them and we determine their symptoms are so severe that we cannot prosecute them. So we send them to our state hospital, for example, to get them just well enough so we can bring them back and prosecute them. And that seems like a waste of money and a lost opportunity. If someone is so severe, why force a criminal record on them to get help?
And obviously factored into this, a big aspect is how do you pay for all this?
That is a big aspect of it. And fortunately, this state, Oregon, when it comes to these issues, tends to be more progressive minded than other states. And the state in recent years is putting out a lot more money to build new residential care and build new housing. We went a long time, some 15 years, without really investing in these things. And the challenge is the state is it's pumping out a lot of money. But you can't build in 2 years what you should have been building over 15. And so we keep running into this challenge of workforce shortages because we're expanding so fast. We run into challenges of regulatory burdens that prevent places from really developing new residential, from building quickly and opening quickly. And so we're in that stage where the investments are have been great, but we now need to figure out more of the mechanics and get some of the regulation and these onerous burdens out of the way so we can get things open and people help.
Are you concerned about potential changes to Medicaid and how that could impact your work?
I think that, yeah, I mean, that really is it's sort of this anvil ready to drop hanging over all of us. I'm here today talking about initiatives that NAMI's doing and legislative activity as if life is going to go on normally and the federal government is going to, you know, Medicaid is going to be a steady ship. If the cuts come down that could come down because of budget decisions that Congress makes, you can throw everything I said out the window. If you think things are bad now, they will be exponentially worse because this Oregon, like many states, has hitched its wagon when it comes to behavioral health improvement to Medicaid. And if people lose coverage, if Medicaid, if funding doesn't fall through, if funding cuts, it really will have profound impacts. And primarily, I would say those impacts are going to be even more profound in rural areas that really depend on the Oregon Health Plan and Medicaid for a lot of their health care coverage.
And for folks that have friends or family, how do they, what's kind of their first steps to navigating seeking assistance?
Well, that's a good question. It depends on their circumstances, but if anybody ever has questions, they can contact us. They can go to NAMIOR, so the abbreviation for Oregon, NAMIOR.org. They can give us a call and we can walk them through what those steps are. We run a resource helpline out of my office and we field 2,000 phone calls and emails a year. And that's really the key question. People call us, what do I do? Where do I go? And some of that answer really depends on what are they dealing with? Where do they live in the state of Oregon? And what's their insurance coverage? And we help people decipher that and put together a navigation plan that hopefully leads them to help and effective help.
So your group in Douglas County is volunteer-led, right?
That is correct, yes. Yeah, and most of our chapters are. So that's why we're trying to get some staff support to them because, you know, 40 years ago when this organization was founded, we had a lot of stay-at-home moms, and they were the heart of the organization. We called them NAMI Mommies. Well, you can't ask volunteers in today's modern world to run an organization. That's just doesn't match modern life. So what we want to do is provide support to our volunteers in Douglas County. So what they really can focus on is program delivery and making, you know, real connections with people seeking help so that they don't have the administrative burdens that come along with running an organization.
So in the county, what kinds of things does the local group do?
So we do a lot of family support groups. So a lot of family members supporting loved ones. Their loved ones often are living with very severe mental illness. It is hard to interact with a loved one who is severely has severe symptoms and really isn't interested in getting help. And so we really do a lot of work supporting those families. And then with people living with mental health conditions, we also have support groups with coping with that. How do I find help? How do I keep myself healthy? How do I prevent relapses? And so we provide that support as well. And then through the use of technology like Zoom, people in Douglas County and Douglas County, we have classes and for both those constituencies and other education and support opportunities over Zoom that anybody in the state of Oregon can join.
Now, can things like diet or substance use exacerbate a mental health issue?
Yeah, it can. So we talk about often when we think about mental health, we think about it like the rest of healthcare. Just give me a pill and I'll be better, but that's not mental health. Medication really is tangentially effective, if it's effective, but it is, when it comes down to it, it's those things, diet, exercise, sleep. Certainly the use of substances is often done to mask mental health symptoms, and then you end up developing both a mental illness as a substance use disorder, and that makes life much more complex. But yeah, there are basic things that we all know what to do, but we're not great at doing them because, you know, it's not thinking about your diet isn't always the most enjoyable activity to do. But those are the things that really, if you're living with mental health conditions, can make a big difference.
So what brought you down to Douglas County for a couple days?
Coming down to see our local chapter here. We've got some stellar volunteers. As I said, we really have a regional national initiative on to help not only Douglas County, but Klamath, Lake, Jackson, Josephine, Coos, Curry, and really combine our volunteers in that region to reach more people and collaborate more. And so it was a couple days of meeting with people, going to organizations like ADAPT here and talking with their leadership and seeing what they're doing and figuring out different ways we can support the community's need and partner with other organizations so that we can continue to get the volunteers that we need to offer our free programming.
So if people want to find out more about the National Alliance on Mental Illness and in Oregon, how do they connect with you?
So I would say you can go to our website, and it's NAMI OR. So we got to add OR for Oregon, NAMIOR.org, or they can give us a call at 503-230-8009.
All right, NAMI Oregon Executive Director Chris Bonoff, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
1257 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.